Today's Shi'im Sechta Sukkah Daf Dalet. We will begin on Daf Beis on a Beis, approximately 20 lines from the bottom. In our previous Shi'im, we began the Perek, Baruch Hashem, and we spoke about a Sukkah that's higher than 20 Amos, the Machlokes in the Mishnah, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, if it's a kosher Sukkah or it's not a kosher Sukkah. Then we continued the discussion in the Gemara under what circumstances does that a machloikus pertain? Is it what's going to be the halacha of a sukkah? The walls reach the schach. Will the same halacha will apply? We spoke about a situation where the sukkah is 7 tfachim by 7 tfachim, a sukkah that's 4 amos by 4 amos. And we spoke about all of those situations. What is the halacha regarding the kashrus of the sukkah? So the Gemara begins to talk about this machlokes that, according to Rav Huna, once the sukkah is less than four amos, do we have the machlokes of the Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah? Only if the sukkah is less than 7 tefachim, according to Rav Chanan, only if it's 7 tefachim, do we have the machlokes in our Mishnah? And the Gemara delves into this. Meisvei asked the Gemara. The Braisa teaches a sukkah she gavoy lamala esramama, starting with the halacha that we've been discussing. A sukkah that's higher than 20 amos, psula, for Yehuda Machsher. Yehuda says that sukkah is kosher. At arboim v'chamishim amma, it could be 40 or 50 amma tall, and it still will be a kosher sukkah. And Yehuda brings a raya to his position. It says, Gemara Amar Yehuda, Maisa behelni amalka balod, there was an episode with Hilni Amalka. She is the mother of Mumbaz HaMelech. Rashi says that she was from the descendants of the Chashmonai, who lived in Lud. Her sukkah was taller than 20 amma. The Chachamim would come, enter, and leave that sukkah. And they never said anything to her. So from here, says Rabbi Yehuda, is clearly an indication, is clearly a proof that a sukkah could be higher than 20 amma and still be kosher. Amrloi, so the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya, you want to bring a raya from that story? Isha Haisa, she is a woman, and a woman is part of a sukkah, because sukkah is a mitzvah to say, Shizman Grama. And that's why she was parted from the sukkah. So the question is, there's a fundamental machloikis, rishonim and achronim. If a woman is not obligated in a mitzvah, is she allowed to fulfill the mitzvah? So according to the opinions that say that when you have a mitzvah to say shazman groma, that women are exempt from, not only are they exempt from the mitzvah, but that the halacha is that they should not fulfill the mitzvah. So how did Hilni Amalka sit in the sukkah if the halacha is, as we just said, it's a mitzvah to say, Shizman Groma? So some explain that when is a woman not allowed to fulfill a mitzvah to say, Shizman Groma, according to those opinions? When it's obvious that she's trying to fulfill a mitzvah that she's not obligated to fulfill. But when it's not obligated, when she's not obligated, in this case, as we're going to learn now, she was sitting there with her children. So therefore, it's not obvious that she's doing it l'shem mitzvah, and we could be more lenient. The Meretz Chayis says that she was doing this because she wanted to sit there because of her children. She herself, according to the opinions that hold that a woman may not fulfill a mitzvah, say she's man groma, would have never sat in a sukkah, because women are exempt from a sukkah. The reason she sat in the sukkah, because her children, as we're going to learn, had to sit in the sukkah, and therefore once her children had to sit in the sukkah, she sat there as well. So again, amalem misham ra'ish, turim in a sukkah. Amalem, so they said, v'lo shiva bonim havala, didn't Hilni have 7 sons, and she therefore had to sit in the sukkah, not because of herself, but because of her children, and they have to sit in a kosher sukkah. Void, furthermore, everything she did according to the way Chazal told us to do. And if this sukkah is not a kosher sukkah, she would not have ever sat in a sukkah. So the first question is, the Gemara says that maybe she didn't follow the Rabbanan. So says the Gemara, Kama Sapi Chachamim. Everything she did, she followed the Chachamim. So ask the Pnei Yeshua, if she wasn't following the Chachamim, and the Sukkah is a Pasul Sukkah, then even though she maybe did what she did, the Chachamim would have certainly said to her something. So Pnei Yeshua answers that what the Gemara really means to say is that she would have never sat in the if she wasn't mechuyev, if she didn't pay attention to Rabbanon, the Rabbanon wouldn't have said anything to her because she doesn't have a chiyuv to sit in the sukkah, as we said a moment ago. But here we see that she sat in the sukkah and she tries to do everything properly. It must be that she really felt and knew that she has to sit in the sukkah. So the question asks, so she sat in the sukkah because of her children, because of the chiyuv chinuch. So many Rishonim and Achronim ask that she isn't mechuyev chinuch. The chiyuv of chinuch is a chiyuv on the father, not on the mother. So what's pshat that was saying that she sat there because of her children, and her children have to sit in the sukkah? So Aruch HaNer says that even if a mother has no chiyuv in being mechanach her children, she has a chiyuv lafrishim in iser, that he shouldn't do the wrong thing. And eating outside the sukkah on sukkahs, of course, is usur. And therefore, it must be that she was being mechanach her children, and she was mechanach the children to sit in the sukkah. It must be a kosher sukkah. Moreover, says the Aruch HaNer, even if a woman doesn't have a chiyuv to mechanach her children, she may not give her children something to do, or which is wrong. So if this sukkah is not a kosher sukkah, she should never give her children to sit in such a sukkah if it's not a kosher sukkah. It must be that it was a kosher sukkah. Which opens up a discussion. Here we're saying that there is no the chiyuv chinuch is on the father. The chiyuv chinuch is not on the mother. But the Chasam Sofer says that if there is no father, the father is not alive, or the father is away from the home, then, says the Chasam Sofer, there is a chiyuv chinuch on a mother. Moreover, the Shas HaTshuvos Tzel HaChokhmah says that even if a mother, the Chelek Aleph Siman Daled, he quotes the Hilchos Ketanis, that even if a mother doesn't have a chiyuv chinuch in her sons, she has a chiyuv chinuch for a daughter. Another difference is that there are different types of mitzvahs, as we know. There's mitzvah chiyuvis and mitzvah kiyumis. Mitzvah kiyumis is that if you want to do it, you're fulfilling a mitzvah by doing it. Mitzvah chiyuvis is a mitzvah you have to do. So there are paiskim that want to suggest that even a mother is not mechuyev and chinuch, that's in a mitzvah kiyumis. When a mitzvah chiyuvis, there is a chiyuv chinuch on the mother as well. I also saw that there are those that want to suggest, the stipler wants to suggest, when it comes to chinuch, there's two elements in the chinuch. One element of chinuch is that a father has to teach his children to do mitzvah. The other element is that even a child who's not bar mitzvah yet has a chiyuv to do mitzvahs. So even though the mother may not have that same obligation to teach her children to do mitzvahs, there is a chiyuv for a mother to make sure that her children are doing what they're supposed to be doing and not doing what they're not supposed to be doing. And therefore, in sukkahs, when the children were supposed to sit in the sukkah, she had to make sure that the children sat in the sukkah properly. But now, the Ritva makes a very important point. Yes, we just finished explaining that there's a chiyuv chinuch to teach the children to do the mitzvah. But must we train our children to do a mitzvah perfectly? So maybe the sukkah wasn't really a kosher sukkah, but for chinuch purposes, it was adequate. And in fact, the Shas HaTshuvos Devar Chayim, Chelek Beis Siman Tes, discusses if you have a child who can't really keep himself clean and he makes a bracha, do we answer amen to the bracha? And the Devar Chayim says, yes, we do. Because even though an adult who would make a bracha under such circumstances is making a bracha batala, we of course have to make sure that we are clean when we utter a bracha. A child would have to worry about all the details. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch disagrees, and he says that when a child does a mitzvah, he has to do the mitzvah properly. And therefore, if a child is making a bracha when he's not clean, a bracha may not be made when one isn't clean. So the child is not mechuyev in bracha, but when he does it, he has to do it right. And that is the point of the Ritva. We could make an argument that a child doesn't have to sit in a sukkah. But when a child sits in a sukkah, he has to sit in a sukkah that is 100% kosher. So now the question is, we're going to learn a mitzvah Shem in our Masechta. In the world that they lived, not everybody had dalaminim. But the halach is, to fulfill the mitzvah of dalaminim, you have to own the dalaminim. So we know that if somebody owns dalaminim, and somebody else doesn't own dalaminim, how does the person who doesn't own the dalaminim fulfill the mitzvah? The person who owns it gives it to him with a matana amnas lahachser. I'm giving it to you, and while it's yours, it's completely yours, it's a gift to you, but then you're going to give it back to me, and it'll be mine again. But that, explained the Rishonim, only work by gedolim, because gedolim, adults, have the ability to be kind to purchase, to take ownership, and maknan, give ownership. Ketanim have the ability to take ownership, but they don't have the ability to give ownership, to transfer ownership. So if one is going to give his katan dalam minim with a matanam nas lahachser, it wouldn't work, because the katan is going to take the ownership, but he won't be able to give it back to me. And so therefore, in a place where like Etzes Rol, in a place with Etzes Rol, where there's only one day, the first yontif, where there's a chiv lechem, so the father should take the dalaminim, and even though he gives it to his children with a matanam nas lachser, and they can't really give it back to him, it doesn't make a difference because they're mekayim the mitzvah anyway, because you don't need lechem the first, only the first day. But in chutz l'aretz, where you have to have lechem the first 2 days, so the father's going to give the dalaminim to his son on the first day with a matanam nas lachser, so the son is going to take ownership. But now I want to get it back. He doesn't have the halachic ability to give it back to me. So now I won't be able to fulfill lechem on the second day yontav, which here in chutz l'aretz we have to fulfill. So because of that, the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tov Reish Nun Ches, Siv Katan Chav Ches says, don't give it to your son who's a katan with a matanam nas lachser. Give it to him with shayla. You lend it to him. But lending doesn't make it his. So if we're saying, as the Paiskim, that chinuch has to be done perfectly, correctly, so this child, we're trying to be mechanachim in the mitzvah of dalaminim. To properly fulfill the mitzvah of dalaminim, you have to have ownership of the dalaminim. This child who only is getting it as a shayel, as a borrower, doesn't have ownership. So how can we fulfill the mitzvah of chinuch? And that's why there are many that hold that one should buy for their children their own dalaminim. But that opens up a different discussion. And that is that if we're going to, again, if we want to fulfill the mitzvah of chinuch properly, we have to give it to the child, and we have to give it to him, we have to give him a perfectly kosher set. Otherwise, again, to be mechanech a child with dalaminim that are not a kosher dalaminim, the way we're learning now from the Ritva, one doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. So therefore, you have to buy, so if you're going to buy him, fantastic, but you have to make sure to buy him something which is really kosher. On the other hand, there are paiskim that say that in this halacha, you could be mechanech the child with even a borrowed set. And the question, of course, is why? So perhaps maybe one could suggest, we just said that this halacha of lochem is only on the first day yontiv in Etzes Rol, on the first 2 days yontiv in Chutz Lartz. So it's different than other types of chinuch. When we're trying to mechanech a child in the mitzvah, and there's only one right way to do the mitzvah, so of course we have to be mechanechim that way. Any other way is not considered a proper chinuch. But when we mechanech a child, even though it's not lechem, since on the other days of Sukkot, nobody has to have lechem, maybe we could be a little more lenient. So ask the Gemara, Lam li lemesna, why do we have to say, Kol ma'aseh lo yaseh al-pi chachamim? Says the Baruch HaKamim, maybe you'll say that these children were ketanim, and ketanim are perim mesukkah, and therefore it doesn't make a difference what kind of a sukkah it was. Says the Gemara, that can't be, Because Kim the Shiva Hava, we're saying that she had seven sons. If she had seven sons, there must be at least one who's old enough that no longer needs his mother. And since he doesn't need the mother, then he has a chiv to sit in the sukkah. Because the halacha is katan she'ein tzarich l'imoy, a child that's old enough that he no longer needs his mother has to sit in the sukkah. V'chi teimru, continues the Gemara, katan she'ein tzarich l'imoy m'drabbanan d'mechayiv. Maybe you'll say that that obligation is only chiv d'rabbanan. V'yiv d'rabbanan l'mashkecha, and she wasn't so particular about following the rabbanans. Tashma, so that's what the Brisa says. She always followed what Chazal said. So it must be the fact that the Chachamim didn't say anything to her. It must be a raya that the sukkah, even though it's higher than 20 amos, like Rabbi Yehuda said, is still a kosher sukkah. So as we mentioned, we learned in the previous year, different opinions when the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim about a sukkah needing to be less than 20 amos tall is applicable. Ask the Gemara, Bishlam Lamand Amar, according to the opinion that we spoke about in our previous year, Rabbi's opinion, that if the walls don't reach the schach, that's the place that we have the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. Where Rabbanan say, if the walls don't reach the schach, and the schach is 20 amos tall, the sukkah is posel, and Rabbi Yehuda holds it still kosher. So says the Gemara, Daka Shemalka Leishav Sukkah She'en Defana Megiyas L'Schach. A queen would typically sit in a sukkah that the walls don't reach the schach. So there should be airspace for the Mishmavir. There should be air for the sukkah to have some air, and that's why here we have a sukkah that the walls aren't reaching the schach, and even though the walls aren't reaching the schach, the sukkah was so tall, so high, so Yehuda has a great raya that his opinion is correct. Eleman the Omer, but according to Rav Huna and Rav Chanan, that say the Masukah Ketana Machloikus, that the Machloikus of Yehuda and the Chachamim is limited only to a small sukkah. According to Rav Huna, the Machloikus is about a sukkah that's 4 amos by 4 amos, and according to Rav Chanan, as we discussed in the previous year, the Machloikus is by a sukkah that's 7 tefachim a sukkah tefachim. But if it's larger than 4 amos, according to Rav Huna, if it's larger than 7 tefachim, according to Rav Chanan, everybody agrees it could be higher than 20 amos. So says the Gemara, how did Rabbi Yehuda bring a raya from that episode? V'chidaka shamaka leisha b'sukkah ketana, would Helmi Amaka sit in such a small sukkah? Of course not. Amar Rav Ravoda leinitzucha. Then Rabbi Yehuda was proving his point. El sukkah asur ketonis ketonis. He's speaking about a sukkah that was made with small rooms because of tznius. The queen didn't want to be so in the public eye. She sat in small rooms that were taken off the main sukkah, and therefore she could sit in such a that. And even though it wasn't so large, but it was so tall, that's how Rabbi Yehuda had a raya. Says the Gemara, the chidaka shemakalei shabasukah asuya ketonis ketonis. Is that the type of sukkah that the queen sat in? She must have sat in a large sukkah. Amar Rav Ashi, la'netzucha el ketonis shabah. She sat in a large sukkah, but as we explained, the large sukkah had these small rooms off the main sukkah where she sat, that she should be able to be in private. So therefore, says the Gemara, now we can understand how the Chachamim will defend themselves against Rabbi Yehuda. Rabban Savri, but now the sukkah ma'al yavisaka. According to Rabbanan, the way the sukkah was constructed, there was a large sukkah, and there was the small ketonius off the large sukkah. The Rabbanan held that the sons who were obligated to sit in the sukkah sat in the large sukkah. And as we're explaining, a large sukkah, according to Rav Huna, according to Rav Chanan, could be kosher even if it's higher than 20 amos. Vi yasu b'ketonis, and she herself sat in the ketonis, and we don't care because she's a woman. She's not mechuyev in the sukkah.
and she sat there mishum tzni yusai, mishum hachir layam v'lay dava. She could sit there because she's parted from the sukkah. She's sitting there only because she wants to be fairly close to her children, but she doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. So even though it's the place that she sat didn't have the, it wasn't a kosher sukkah, it didn't bother us. Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Rabbi Yehuda anyway held b'nei gabav yasri. She wanted to have her children right next to her. And that means the children were also sitting in that small kitainus. And it was above 20 amos tall. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says that afilo achil la'am la'dava, the Chachamim didn't say anything to her. It must be a raya that the sukkah is a kosher sukkah even when it's higher than 20 amos. There's, of course, a big discussion here in the Achrayinim. What's the halacha if you have a big sukkah and you have a ketanus off the main sukkah? And the big sukkah could be taller than 20 amos. Why does that affect the ketanus? So the Bikur Yaakov says that it depends how the ketanus is constructed. If the ketanus is constructed in a way that it's a separate room, that's the case of Al Gemari, he suggests, then if the Chachamim would hold that it has to be less than 20 amos tall, and it's not considered an extension of the rest of the sukkah. Whereas if the ketanus sukkah is constructed in a way that it's very obvious that it's just an extension of the big sukkah, and if the large sukkah could be more than 20 amos, the ketanus would not be affected. So now that since the Gemara has been discussing the size of the sukkah, the Gemara begins a discussion, what is the size of a sukkah, the minimum size of a sukkah. Amar Rav Shmuel Yitzchak, halacha, the halacha is, tzricha, the sukkah has to be mechsekes roish shel shulchana. It has to be able to hold the most of the person's body and the table, that which, as we learned, is 7 tfachim by 7 tfachim. Amar Leir Abba, Kaman, whose opinion is this follow? Kebe Shammai. That Beshamai's opinion is that the sukkah has to be 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. Amalei, so he says, El Kaman, of course it's following the opinion of Beshamai. Ikadamri, but then the Gemara says, a Nikadamri that says, Amar Rab Abba the Amalachmani, who told you that the sukkah has to be this size? Amalei, Beshamai. So the Mefarshim, Daruch Lener, tries to understand, is there any nafkamina between the two versions that we just learned that was saying that the halacha is that it has to be 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. So the Pnei Yeshua says that we're going to see that in our Gemara, there are really two aspects when we speak about a sukkah having to be Zayin al Zayin and Rosh Ruba Shulchanai. One is in discussing the size of the sukkah. And one is that even if the size of the sukkah is the right size, but if the shulchanai, if the person's table is outside of the sukkah, according to Beshamai, is not kosher, because we're concerned, shema yimashech acha shulchanai. This person may end up going to be, he may end up going to be where his table is. And says the Pnei Yeshua, that's the nafkamina between the two lashonis that we just learned. The first lashon held machzekes. It's speaking about the element, the aspect that the sukkah has to have a minimum size of zayin al zayin. The second version that's paskening, like Beis Shammai, says that it's referring to a situation where the Shulchanah is outside of the sukkah, and Beis Shammai says that such a sukkah is not a kosher sukkah, and that's what it was meant to teach. So here we're learning that Beis Shammai's opinion, and Beis Hillel certainly agree because Beis Hillel are even more lenient, is that a sukkah has to be Zayin Tfachim. So there's a number of questions that the Paiskim discuss. One question they discuss is, yes, Chazal determined that you could fit Rosh Veruba V'Shulchanai of an individual in a sukkah that is only Zayin Tfachim. But it's difficult to sleep in such a sukkah that's only Zayin Tfachim. So what's the halacha about such a sukkah? So it's a machlokes ha'paiskim. So the Chacham Tzvi and the Trumas Hadeshin have a shail on this. And the Chacham Tzvi says that somebody the sukkah that we're speaking about, a fascinating halacha, is only regarding a sukkah where you eat. But a sukkah that's meant for sleeping, a sukkah that's shazayin al tfachim, azayin tfachim, would not be a kosher sukkah. The Trumas Hadashin disagrees. And Trumas Hadashin says we don't find that the Gemara differentiates that the sukkah that zayin tfachim is kosher for eating, but not kosher for sleeping. So obviously he is of the opinion that a sukkah that is kosher zayin tfachim, even if it's kosher for sleeping. To make matters even more complicated, the Chofetz Chaim held that when somebody goes to sleep in the sukkah, he has to make sure that the table on which he eats in the sukkah, there are sukkahs that are not that large, and there are a number of people sleeping in the sukkah. So what they do is they take out the table and they put down the mattresses. And then in the morning, they take out the mattresses and put in the table. The Chofetz Chaim says you shouldn't take out the table. And the Mo'adim V'Zmanim say, how is it possible? He says, the Minig Olam is not like that. And based on our Gemara, here we have already enough of discussion between the Chacham Tzvi and the Trumas Hadashin. The Trumas Hadashin says, it's kosher for sleeping. The Chacham Tzvi says, how could it be kosher for sleeping? You can't fit into it. And now you still have to leave your table. It's a very difficult, to understand that Chofetz Chaim says the Me'adim V'Zmanim. There's a tshuva from the Chibina Rav, the Shas tshuva Stoiv Mishorim, Chelik Aleph Simon Ayin Tes. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Aleph on the base, that one is not allowed to sleep in a home alone. And the question that David Mishorim speaks about is one allowed to sleep in a sukkah alone? And he brings a raya from our discussion that we just had that certainly one may sleep in a sukkah alone. Because as we just discussed, a sukkah that Zayin Tfachim, Zayin Tfachim, even according to the Chacham, to Trumas Hadashin, who holds it's a kosher sukkah, it's certainly very difficult to sleep in such a sukkah. And there's certainly no room for another person to sleep in such a sukkah. Yet, the Trumas Hadashin says, was a kosher sukkah. So here we see that even though the sukkah is not large enough for two people to sleep, it's barely enough for one person to sleep, a person could sleep in the sukkah by himself. We're going to learn in the Mishnah, and Daf Chav Ches Amen Aleph, in Mitzvah Shem. Misha Yerosh Veru B'sukkai, B'shulchanoi B'soi Chabayis, B'shamai Paislim, B'silim Machshirim. And as we learned, as we just discussed, the shulchan is not in the sukkah, the halacha is not yoytze the mitzvah sukkah according to Beishamai. Maslo Rav Nachman Beyitzchok, Maide Beisham Beisilol. Why are we saying that the machlokes Beisham Beisilol besukkah ketana pligi are arguing on what is the minimum size of the sukkah? Dilma besukkah gedol pligi. Maybe the machlokes has nothing to do with size. And the machlokes is, kigoyin deyosa pumadim talalta, somebody who's sitting at the entranceway to sukkah, his body, most of his body is in the sukkah, v'shulchan b'soi chavayis, and his table is outside in the house, not in the sukkah. Beshamai savri gazrina shemi moshech ha'shulchanoi. Beshamai is concerned that he may go follow his table and end up eating outside the sukkah. Ubetzil savri loy gazrinin. We're not going to agree. But who says that they're arguing on size? And says the Gemara, v'deikin nami, and I'll bring a raya that is the subject of the machloikus beisham beisilol. The tani shai roish v'rubu sukkai v'shulchan b'soich habayis beisham beisilol beisilol machshirim. But if we're going to say that the machloikus beisham beisilol is not around, are we worried that he's yimoshech achol shulchanai? The machloikus is on the basic size, so shouldn't it have said machzekus veinim machzekus meboilei? That it depends on the size. So it seems that the machlokes is only about shemach moshech achol shulchanai. Shemaksuk v'ktana loy pligi. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Can one suggest that Beishamai and Beisilol agree on the minimum size of a sukkah? For Tanya, ham we learned, machzekus rosh v'rubah shulchanai, a sukkah that holds rosh v'rubah shulchanai is kshera. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi has even a more stricter opinion. Rabbi holds actually by Abba Amos al Abba Amos. Because going back to what we discussed in our previous year, we're going to learn this further in the Masechta. Rabbi's opinion is that the sukkah has to be a more of a diris kva. And if it's not dalet amos or dalet amos, it's not a kosher sukkah. Reb, here it says that all you need for the sukkah is rosh v'rubay. Vila shulchanoi. In this brisa, it doesn't speak about shulchanoi. So kashan adadi. When we talk about the minimum size of the sukkah, is rosh v'rubay, which is vav tfachim enough, or is rosh v'rubay v'shulchanoi the shir, which is zayin tfachim? Elav shmamina. It must be. Ha Beishamai. Beishamai's opinion is that it has to be Zayin Tfachim al Zayin Tfachim. And Ha Beishilu, that because you also have to have roof for Shulchanai, Ha Beishilu. And it says the Gemara Amar Mazutra, Masnisa Namideka. I'll bring a rhyme from the Mishnah. Midiktani, Beishamai Paislam Beishamai Mechshirin. When the Mishnah speaks about the size of the Sukkah, when it speaks about Misha Haya, Rosh Ruba Sukkah, Shulchanim Sechabayis, the Mishnah uses the words Beishamai Paislam Beishil Mechshirin. Then Isa, if we're going to say that the Machlokes is only about Shemi Moshech, then the wording should have been Beshamer lo yotzo beisel ama yotzo mibayalei. It must be that the Machlokes is about the minimum size, and Beshamai holds that the size the beisel says is good enough for a sukkah, they hold is a possible sukkah. But ask the Gemara, but the wording of Mishahayu, Rosh Verubi Shulchanai, the Shulchanai B'Toich Abayis, seems to indicate that they're arguing about Shema Yimashech. So what is the argument about? Is the argument about Shema Yimashech, or is the argument about the minimum size of the sukkah? Says the Gemara, actually, L'Oilam B'Tati Pligi. They're arguing about both subjects. Pligi B'Sukkah K'tana, or Pligi B'Sukkah G'doyla. They're arguing what is the minimum size of a sukkah, and they're also arguing if you have a large sukkah, but you have the shulchan outside of the sukkah, are you yoytz the mitzvah? V'chsuri mechse v'hachitani. Misha yirusha rubis sukkah, v'shulchanim b'soich habayis, v'shamerim la'yotza, because v'shamer is concerned for shema yimashaych achu shulchanoi, or v'shil amrim yotza. They're not concerned for that. And then there's another question. If you have a sukkah, which means it's only large enough to hold four tfachim by four tfachim. Beshamai, Paislim, Beshamai said that that sukkah is too small, or Beisil Machshirim, and Beisil hold that the sukkah is a kosher sukkah, even though it only has room for four tfachim by four tfachim. There's a machloikis rishonim, how to understand the Gemara that we just learned. Most Rishonim of the opinion that the two questions that we're learning now about what is the minimum size of the sukkah and the question of Shema Yimashech Ach Shulchanoi, there are two separate issues. And we don't even have to paskin like Beis Shammai in one or the other. And in fact, the Rosh says, regarding the minimum size of a sukkah, there we paskin like Beis Shammai. It has to be Zayin Tfachim or Zayin Tfachim. Regarding the concern of Shema Yimashach Acha Shulchanai, there we paskin like Beis Hillel. But there are other Rishonim that say the two Machloikasin actually travel together. And just like we paskin like Beis Shammai regarding the minimum size of the sukkah, we will also paskin like Beis Shammai regarding the subject of Shema Yimashach Acha Shulchanai. So now we learned that the sukkah, if it's not the right size, there's a concern of Shemi Moshech, and therefore Madraban, the sukkah is possible. The question the Paiskim discuss, what's going to be the halacha if somebody has no other sukkah besides such a sukkah? Can you be the yoytz of the mitzvah b'shas etchak with such a sukkah? And we're going to see if a sukkah is possible Madrabanon, can you be yoytz the mitzvah at least midiraisa? Mantana asked the Gemara. Mantana l'had the Tana Rabbanan. Bay she'en by arba amos al arba amos. If a house is not 4 amos by 4 amos, part of a mezuzah. There's no chiv to put a mezuzah on the door to that home. In a makah, it's no obligation to make a fence around the roof. Ve'en matamim in the goyim. It doesn't have the din of tumas negoyim if the house becomes tameh with one of the simonim of tumah. Ve'en nechle b'batei erechoyma. The halacha is that if somebody sells a home in a city that's mukafas choyma and that's Israel, the halacha is that the seller to redeem the house only for the first year after it was sold. After, if not, if he didn't do it within the first year, it becomes the buyer's forever. If somebody sells a field, there the halacha is very different in such a place. The halacha is he may not redeem it for the first 2 years after he sold it. After the first 2 years, he could redeem it. And if he didn't redeem it, when Yovel comes, it goes back to the original owners. And teaches us this brisa, that a home that isn't Arba Amis or Arba Amis is not considered like a house in the Batei Or Chaima with the halachas that we just said. It's considered like a field. When Klal Yisrael go out to war, the Kohen Meshuach Mechama makes an announcement. If somebody built a new home and never had a chance to live in that home, he should go back home. And this home is not considered a home. As we discussed in our previous year, they used to have a number of homes opening into a chatzar. And then those, and the people of the various homes, if they want to be able to carry in the from their homes to the chatzar, or from the chatzar to the homes, would have to make a ruve chatzeris. The ruve chatzeris is made by putting bread in one of the homes and that open up to that chatzar. And if you didn't, and if somebody didn't participate in the Erev, then nobody could carry. But let's say one of the homes that are opening up to the chatzar isn't dalet al dalet. The halacha is that it doesn't make a difference and they don't have to participate in the ruve chatzeris. And the halacha is that if there's something outdoor in the chatzar as Shabbos begins, it wasn't in the house as Shabbos began. So as we learned in Masechet Erevin, that could be carried throughout the chatzar on Shabbos, even if there is no aruvah chatzeris. So say to Rishonim, this home that didn't participate in the aruvah chatzeris, but it's not dalet amos or dalet amos, anything that's in there is like something that was in the chatzar from before Shabbos. And anything that's in the chatzar from before Shabbos, I could carry in the chatzar. As we also discussed in our previous year, the various chatzeris would open up to Amavi, which had three walls opening up to Rosh Hashanah. And the halacha is that you're not allowed to, there are two halachas actually. You're not allowed to carry from the chatzar to the mavi, because the chatzar is more of a private Rosh Hashanah than the mavi. The chatzar is limited to the people who have homes that open to the chatzar. The mavi is for all the various chatzeris that open up to the mavi. And therefore, to be able to carry from the chatzeris to the mavi, you have to make shtufim mavas. Every chatzar has to participate by participating in giving food. And you also have to make, as we learned, with a lech or kair at the entrance of the mavi to be able to carry within the mavi itself. So here, says the Gemara, eim enichem by Erev, that the Erev that was connected, the house, so everybody has to participate in the shtufim of us, but if somebody's house is not dalet amos by dalet amos, he need not participate. Moreover, as we just said, the way an Erev is made, the way Erev Chatzeris is made, is that they put the Erev Chatzeris into one of the homes. Says the Gemara that it has to be put in one of the homes, but the home that isn't Dalet Amos or Dalet Amos, that isn't the place where you could put the Erev Chatzeris. We know that Aloch on Shabbos is that one could walk only at Chum Shabbos. That means outside your city, you get 2,000 amos in each direction. But it goes from outside the city. The entire city is considered like $1 amos. If there are homes, if there are huts, then every as long as the hut is within 70 and two-thirds amma of the city, it continues to extend the city like Ibur, Muberis, a pregnant woman whose body extends out. If you have two cities, that between the two cities, there's 141 amos and a third, only distance, that connects the two cities, and therefore the person can walk through his entire city, that open area between the two cities, and the entire extent of the next city. But it has to be 141 amos, and not more than 141 and a third amma. let's say, this is the way the Sfasemis explains Rashi's Pshat and our Gemara. Let's say you don't quite have that, you have more than that distance between the two cities. So the way you could solve the problem is if you have a burgenin. If you have a hut, but it has to be, you have to have the Iber, it has to be Dalar Amis or Dalar Amis. That could connect the two cities. But if it wouldn't be that large, it cannot connect the cities. Ve'ena achim v'shut from Chalkaba. A home that isn't Dalar Amis but Dalar Amis, that somebody passed away, and we divide the Yerusha, you can't, one brother cannot force the other brother to, or one partner cannot force the other partner, if they want to dissolve a partnership, to divide a home that's not Dalar Amis. Lema, should we say that this brisa that says that you always need to have Dalar Amis or Dalar Amis is the opinion of Rebihi, V'lai Rabbanim, because the Rabbanim we've been learning hold that a sukkah could be 6th Tfachim or 7th Tfachim. Answers the Gemara Fil Tem Rabbanim. At Kalan Kam Rabbanim Hasam, regarding sukkah, that's where sukkah dir sarayhi. By definition, a sukkah is a dir sarai, and a dir sarai, even if it's just 4 or 7, or even if it's just 6 or 7 tefachim, is good enough to be considered a dir sarai. Aval gabe bayis, when we're trying to establish what is considered a bayis, that there the requirement is that it be a dir kvahu, a filo ramon ramoida, even the rabbanon agree. Dias by arba amas al arba amas, if it's arba amas al arba amas, diary by inchi, people live there, and therefore it's considered a place of dwelling, and yichai, and these halachas apply. Eloi, but if it's not that large, loy diary by inchi, people don't live there, and since people don't live there, it will not be considered a place of living. So we saw here, we're learning here, Dalacha, that here a home has to be Dalar Amis or Dalar Amis. For other purposes, a home does not have to be Dalar Amis or Dalar Amis. Says the Gemara, analyzing the Spraisa, Amma Potter Mina Mezuzah. If the home is not Dalar Amis or Dalar Amis, it's Potter Mina Mezuzah. So I saw a beautiful vart in the Gemara that just said, Bai She'en by Dalar Amis or Dalar Amis is Potter Mina Mezuzah. We know that the Gemara Chazal teaches us in Masechta Brachos Daf Chesam and Aleph. Miyom Shachar Beis Hamikdash. From when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Ein Lo La Kadosh Baruch Hu Belamai. The only thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu has in this world is Elo Dalar Amis Shal Alocha Bavad. Only Dalar Amis Alocha. Chazal teaches us that what does the mezuzah accomplish? The mezuzah is a shmira on the home, says the Gemara. A home that doesn't have the Dalar Amis Shal Alocha, ain't by mezuzah. Then the mezuzah, which we put up to be a shmira on a home, then it won't work. It wouldn't be chayv. The mezuzah won't help if the house is not a place of Dalar Amis, the Dalar Amis. So here we're learning that a home has to be Dalar Amis or Dalar Amis to be chayv in a mezuzah. But it's very interesting. We also learned earlier in our shir that a sukkah has to be Zayin al Zayin. And the question is, when we speak about Zayin al Zayin, how do we understand that? Does it mean that you have to have 49 square feet, 49 square tefachim, or which would be about 21 to 28 inches square, or does it have to have at least Zayin tefachim in each direction? So this is a very big machlokes, and the Bach holds that as long as you have that amount of area, the halacha is that it's a kosher sukkah. The Magen Avraham disagrees, and the Magen Avraham says that each side has to be a minimum Zayin al Zayin. And the same question comes up regarding a mezuzah. The question is that we just said to be chayv in a mezuzah, the room has to be Dalar Amis al Dalar Amis. And the question is, if you have a room that has the area of Dalar Amis or Dalar Amis, but it's not a square room, what would be the halacha? And it's interesting. The Magen Avraham, we just said, by sukkah says it has to be Zayin al Zayin. By mezuzah, he says it doesn't have to be exactly Dalar al Dalar. So the Paiskim want to say, what's the difference? Because the difference is in the size. A room that isn't Zayin al Zayin is useless. And therefore, the Magen Avraham says it has to be at least Zion by Zion. Whereas a room which is not Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos, but it has that area, is a useful room. And since it's a useful room, it can be chayiv in the mezuzah. Umenamaka, if it's not Dalet Amos or Dalet Amos, it's part of an amaka. So I saw that the Chazon Ish asks, the reason we put up a maka on our roof is because it's dangerous without a maka. So what's the difference of if it's Dalet Amos or not Dalet Amos? So he says that the truth is, the mitzvah maka, says the Chazon Ish, is not connected to being dangerous. He says, when a person goes up to his roof, he knows that he has to be careful. Still, the Torah said that you have to put up a gate. We don't have to know why. The Torah says that rule applies even if a person will be careful. And the Torah said that if it's not Dalet Amos or Dalet Amos, says the Chazon Ish, it's not mechuyev. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why is it all these situations, Dalacha, that if it's not Dalet Amos or Dalet Amos, it's Potter? Because says the Gemara, the bias ksiva bekula. The Torah uses the word bias, and since the Torah uses the word bias, it has to be Dalet Amos. We learned further, v'eim arvim ba, v'eim shtatvim ba, v'eim nichim ba erif. My Tama, says the Gemara, like chazir ladira. It's not a place where you could live, and therefore it's not considered a home. And all of these cases, as we spoke about earlier, have to be a home to be for Eruv Chatzeris. Eruv Chatzeris Eim Menichem Ba. It says the Gemara, what we learn from here is that we don't put an Eruv Cheruv Chatzeris there. Av Shituf Menichem Ba. The Shituf and Mevayis we can't put there. My Tama. Why can we put the Shtuf and Mevayis there? If the Halach is that you can't put the Eruv Chatzeris there, you should not be able to put the Shtuf and Mevayis there either. Answers the Gemara, the Eruv Chatzeris has to be put in a home. Because how does the Eruv Chatzeris work? That all of the homes become connected by putting the Eruv Chatzeris in one of the homes. And if this home is not Dalet Amos or Dalet Amos, it's not a home. But Shtuf Mevas doesn't connect the homes. It connects the Chatzeris. This home, this house that's less than Amos or Dalet Amos, is certainly capable of being considered no worse than a Chatzur. The Tanan, Eruv Chatzeris b'Chatzur, the Eruv Chatzeris you have to put in the Chatzur, Shtuf Mevas b'Mavli. Vavinabar, Eruv Chatzeris b'Chatzur, is that true that we put the Eruv Chatzeris in the Chatzur? But Tanan, have we not learned the Mesech, the Erev in that Pehei on the base? Hanisun Eruv b'Shar, if you put the Erev in the gatehouse, b'Chsadra, it's like a porch. But Mepesis, a different Exadra is like a pavilion. Mepesis is a porch. All these places that Loch is in area because it has to be in the house. Hadarsham, and on the other hand, somebody who lives in one of these areas, it's not considered like he's living in one of the houses that if he didn't participate in the Erev, it should be disqualified. Alema, Erev Chatzeris has to be put the Baishab Chartzer. The Mshtufa Mavas could be put in the Chatzer itself. For high, and therefore putting the Shtuf Mevas in this home, which isn't Dalet Amos, but Dalet Amos, like Gora, Michatzah Shabbat Mavi, it's no worse than putting it into a Chatzah in the Mavi. We learned further, Vein Oysen Ase Ibe Mishnei Ayaris. Says the Gemara, that Filu Kaburganen Lai Majvile. The Gemara Mesecht Ervin, that Fnon Heya Mebeis teaches us, that if there's a Burganen, there's a hut connecting the two cities within the 70 two-third Amos, the cities get connected. So why is this any worse than a Burganen? Answers the Gemara, my Tama, Burganen, Chazal Masayu. The hut that's made to be a small hut is usable for its purpose when it's that small. High, but a small home is not a home, like Chazal Masayu. So here the Gemara just taught us a very important chiddush. Something that's usable, even though it's not that Dalet Amos, is considered a room. Based on this, the Chamudi Daniel, a very famous Chamudi Daniel, which is brought down in Hilchas Mezuzah, in the Pesach Tshuva, Yerideya, Simen Reish Peivav, Sifkatan Yud Aleph, says, we learned in our shiur today that in order for a room to be chayiv in a mezuzah, it has to be Dalet Amos or Dalet Amos. So he says, let's say you have a room which is very small in your home. It's less than Dalet Amos or Dalet Amos. But it's usable for its purpose, even though it's not Dalet Amos or Dalet Amos. So the Gemara just said a chiddush that if it's chazir l'mosayu, if it's usable for the purpose that it was constructed for, then it's considered that it has the qualifications. So if this room serves the purpose that it's supposed to serve, even though it's not dalar amis, a dalar amis, it will be mechayiv mezuzah.
We also learned in Braisa, then ach v'shutv chalkim ba, tama, the less by arba amis. So we're saying that why is it not divided between the brothers or the partners? Because it doesn't have arba amis. Seemingly, if it had dal amis chalkin. Ask the Gemara, but have we not learned the Masech Baba Basra, ein chalkin as a chatzur, we don't divide a chatzur, achi arba amis l'zu, v'arba amis l'zu. Everybody has to get their own arba amis. Ella, says the Gemara, ein boy dik chaluka b'chatzur. That means when brothers inherit a home from their father, every door that they have to their homes, that is gives you a certain amount in the chatzur. And his house that said, that doesn't have these dimensions doesn't get that area in the chatzur. Darav Huna, chatzur fi pesach amis chalekas. Every door gets 4 amis in the chatzur. V'chez amar, according to Rav Huna, that means you get it according to the homes. So if there were 4 homes opening up to a chatzur, 3 were small homes according to Rav Huna, and 1 was a large home. So even though this one has a large home, and these brothers has 3 small homes, every home gets an area in the chatzah, 4 amos. Chizdamer, it goes according to the doors. L'cho pesach u'pesach, 4 amos. V'shar, and after everybody gets their 4 amos, chok nesu b'shav, the remainder of the chatzah is divided equally. Says the Gemara, hani mili, when does every home get a share in the chatzah? Bayis do mavikoy, a house that's meant to remain. So to such a home, we give a shear in the chatzur. However, a home which isn't dalar amis or dalar amis, the lemistakoi, this home is not meant to stand. It's going to be demolished, so that home doesn't deserve, loyavina lechatzur doesn't deserve a shear in the chatzur. And that's what was meant when it said that about dalar amis, about a home that's dalar amis regarding the division between brothers or partners.